How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy New Year, everybody. 2026, the year is over. The fourth day in the year already. It's going to be 2027 before we know it. I'm curious, what's the over-under for Brian this week to call it 2025? If you're a longtime Wrestling Observer fan, you know that there's a transition period for Brian Alvarez on getting the year right. Let's see. But this year is going to be a great year for professional wrestling. Already, Wrestle Kingdom 20 happening. My sign is falling. See how excited everybody's getting here in the studio? The Wrestling Observer Live studios here in New York City are totally falling apart. Maybe that's something I'm gonna message Tony Leader and air my grievances. I know Festivus is over, but it's never too late. I want to talk about this. Wrestle Kingdom 20, obviously we're going to be spending a lot of time on this today. Tanahashi's retirement. I want to get your thoughts on this. I thought this was a very important show for New Japan, considering how many eyeballs were probably on this and how they were able to sell the Tokyo Dome out after having... Really, and I'm saying this, and I don't mean this in a negative way towards New Japan, but it was abysmal their attendance for these shows because the COVID protocols that were put in place in Japan, and they never really came back from that immediately. They took their time to come back from that, and it hurt them. But with Tanahashi's retirement, with Takeshita as their IWGP champion going into this, and Okada's return, and everything else that's happening there, and a possible star in Aaron Wolf, I think they're onto something here, and I really hope they keep their momentum and they keep their relationship with AEW because it seems to be helping. And you saw at the end how many AEW stars are there. When we come back, we're going to get into all of this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Again, Happy New Year, everybody! Can't believe it's year 2026. You guys want to guess when I started podcasting, when my first podcast was? Anybody want to take a guess? I know MG knows, my producer, because he's an original Andrew Zarian listener, right? You came from the beginning.
I did. I've been around. I honestly don't know this for sure, but I want to say it was right around 2009 or 2010.
2009, 2010. You're very close. The first podcast I ever did was, I believe, September of 2008.
Wow. See.
Okay. It was called The Andrew and Kunal Show. It was with a New York City stand-up comic, Kunal Arora, which is actually, he's a tremendous comic still. He's the one that introduced me to Tim Dillon. That's how I know Tim. It's all New York comics. My first podcast was 2000, and then we started my company in 2009, and I have not stopped since 2009.
So what you're saying is you're a failed comedian.
No, I never did stand up. I'm a failure in many things, just not comedy, because I never did. I did do a comedy podcast for a while, but very different times. But I'm still doing it, dude. This has been going on for a long time. This is my 17th year of doing broadcasting and radio. Have I gotten better? No, I think I've gotten worse over the years. Let's talk about this. So listen, I'm going to spend some time on Wrestle Kingdom because New Japan has been such an important part of my pro wrestling journey. And I know for a lot of you guys too. Listen, I was an Observer board member years before I started doing a pro wrestling podcast. I was an Observer subscriber years before I started doing a wrestling podcast. My uncle would get the Observers and bring them to me. That's how I got involved with this. I was tape trading OVW tapes. I was going into weird hole-in-the-wall cassette anime shops in Flushing, Queens in the hopes that I could find something related to New Japan or something related to FMW or Wings. I've always had a love for Japanese wrestling. I think it is a very pure form of the sport. It's set in a very different reality compared to WWE, which we're going to talk about the reality the WWE is entering tomorrow on Monday with their Stranger Things crossover. And that is a great example of the variety of professional wrestling. You're going to have an upside down match on Monday Night Raw or whatever they're calling it. What are they calling it? The Gates of Hell? the entrance to the upside down? Okay, that is how they're presenting that show. This show is presenting it as these are the best professional fighters, best professional wrestlers in the world coming together in Japan, put on a hell of a show. And that's what they did. I get so excited for this show every single year. There's a lot to break down. I can't get this in one segment. I'm just warning my producer, just going to spread into two segments. But because I want to talk about the importance of what happened tonight and their positioning, New Japan's positioning now. You know, selling out the Tokyo Dome is not an easy thing. AEW, I mean, listen, they are the number two company in the world. Would they be able to sell at the Tokyo Dome? Running it. I think for the first time they might be able to, depending on how many top stars from New Japan are there. But for New Japan being in a decline period, right? We could honestly say that they have been in a decline from 2020 on. This may be the break that they needed with this with the changes that are happening. What let me get your opinion of this, MG. What did you think of the show overall?
Well,
because you overall, watched it live really, and then you watched it live in the crack of dawn. I watched it this morning.
Mm-hmm. So my take on it was, so just full disclosure to everybody listening. And I don't know about Andrew, but myself, I haven't been watching a lot of New Japan back to what you said earlier about it being cold and not being able to get into it. This I think is going to launch me back into, a regular watcher, some of the bigger shows at least, because I like what I saw on this show. There was that you could tell they're elevating new people. We'll talk about Aaron Wolf.
I want to talk about Aaron Wolf big time. There's something there.
So they definitely.
But this roster, and this version of the roster, whatever this is, okay, whatever this version is, it is stacked. It is very much stacked, and if they make the right moves, they could really turn this up. I mean, this will... We'll go through the card, right? I want to start. Okay, so the IWGP women's match. The women's title match, right? Mm-hmm. Kamatani and Suri. I'm so sorry. Every time I say that, my phone is acting up. Oh, there we go. Everything just lit up. I'm not even kidding. Everything just lit up.
I did too.
See? It just said it. Sorry, I don't understand. I thought that match was incredible. Those girls beat the hell out of each other.
Yeah. It wasn't the longest match. And, no. You know, it's kind of different for the ladies when they work the Tokyo Dome because they're always going to be in that second spot. They're not going to main event. Like, these girls main event stardom shows a lot.
Yeah, this was really good. TMDK, right? That's how it started. It was TMDK eliminated Oleg Bolton and who was it? Bishamon. Yeah.
Yeah,
in the never open six-man Rambo.
It was the Rambo thing.
Yeah.
And this Thekla was,
came out.
She was with the War Dogs for whatever reason. I don't know. What the affiliation
a lot of AEW stars on this card. Even if they weren't wrestling. They were all over the place.
Yeah.
All over the place. I thought, it was whatever it was. You know, I thought that was fun. Something here that was really interesting, United Empire, which was Jake Lee, Andrade, Cal Newman, Great O'Khan, and Hanari. They defeated the War Dogs, which is Dave Finley, Drilla Malone. Drilla Maloney's another one, and Gabe Kidd, and Unaffiliated, which was Takashi.
Is that the remnant?
Takahashi,
of
I'm sorry. The remnants. Takahashi and Shingo Takagi. So sorry. I didn't do my vocal training this morning. So my name. You know, that is something that you realize that happens when you get older. These are names that I've read for 15 years, and then they get harder and harder. You end up turning into an old man very quickly with names, and you get out of touch. Happens. But Andrade being there was interesting to see. I guess his lawyers have worked whatever it is out.
Yeah, apparently that's over. Apparently they did some magic and got it so he could work certain places.
I don't know if AEW's involved in that.
Yeah, I think he could do well in New Japan. He might be a guy you could put the belt on.
I think he's very... Look at the people in this match, right? Between Dave mm-hmm. Finley, right? Which he was hurt, right? Dave Finley was hurt. Yeah. Gabe Kidd, Andrade. Those three alone are real top players. Drilla Maloney coming up. Major player here.
Well, we could skip back to the first match, the Rambo match. Zack Sabre Jr. was on TMDK.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of stars that were not in prominent positions on this show.
I mean, it's hard to do that with a special show like this. You know, when you know that you have to give time to at least three of these matches on this card and give it a decent amount of time, you're going to have people kind of in these multi-man matches or multi-person matches in order to fit everybody in and make this into a mega show. You got 50,000 people there, or whatever the number was. You have to get everybody on. And I think they did a good job at that. But I think seeing Andrade there, I think seeing Gabe Kidd in this match, I think seeing Dave Finley, I think seeing Drilla Maloney, Callum Newman also, these are people that were not there 10 years ago. Maybe Dave Finley it was, but even 7 years ago, 8 years ago, these were not those players. And now you're seeing the deck has been reshuffled for this company. When we come back, I'm going to break down this card even more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We're back. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. Yeah, so Andrade being there, I thought that was very cool to see. I hope he stays a little bit and we get to see something here. It is interesting that this is a post-Bullet Club New Japan too, you know? It's not the same old. Everything is different. El Desperado defeated Ishimori, Sho, Fujita, and for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship contender. You know, this was a very good juniors match. A lot of people, you know, the thing is the junior title as important as it was a couple years ago? I think for people like Sho, I think it's very important to have there. El Desperado, I think it's very important to have there. I thought this was fine too. The show really picked up for me after this match. And this is what I want to talk about. Aaron Wolf and Evil. This was Aaron Wolf's debut. For people who don't know him, he's a gold medalist. He's a gold medal judo, Olympic judo.
I had to look him gold up. Medalist. I didn't realize it, but yeah.
You didn't know that?
He's really, no. I was like, oh, wait. He's a big deal in Japan, definitely.
He shaved his head. He's in only black trunks. The dude was great in a debut. And listen, he's debuting on this card because he's a big deal. Mm-hmm. In the world of, I mean, sports, Olympic level sports.
The American equivalent probably is Kurt Angle, right?
You know what? It would be Kurt Angle. He's born in Japan. You know, he's their Olympic winner. He's their Olympic. He won what? The 2020 Olympics, right? He won 2020 Olympics. He won gold.
Paris.
2020, he won the Olympics gold. He won gold for the World Championship. And he won in 2017, 2021, he won the Asian Championship. Mm-hmm.
I thought he was in Paris, if he wasn't.
He won silver 2024. He won silver.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, he's a remarkable, what are they called? Judoka?
Judoka?
Yeah. Judoka, yeah. He's a judoka. Dude, I was very impressed by him.
His offense was clean and crisp. And,
and Evil's not the easiest guy to have that match with, dude. It's no. Because there's always shenanigans with Evil, right? And we saw it at the end. There was so much shenanigans there with Fale coming out and it was a total schmoz at the end. But he ended up picking the victory. He did a angle slam in the match, which I loved, and they kept screaming angle slam. And he has a great submission. He essentially locks you in where you're about to pass out. It's like a leg lock and your arms are stretched back. And Evil was passing out, and that was it, and he beat Evil. I was very impressed by him, and he won the NEVER Openweight title. Very impressed by him.
That's how you launch someone and get
that
someone
is how
going.
You launch put someone. Him, you made a star there. Him. Now, you know, you made somebody. You made somebody. Now, Evil's not, again, I said it, I'm not the biggest Evil fan, but he made him look great. I was impressed by it. You also had Yotsuji Takeshita, IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. This is also, I guess this is a unifier or winner-take-all, as they called it, and the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship. I really like this match. Yeah, go ahead.
So real quick, I didn't hear them, and this are the women's match for the two titles combined. They never said unified or combined. It was always just double champion.
Double champion.
I'm curious to see what they do. If they'll just hold the belts together until they decide to do something down the road, or until they want to split them back up.
I don't know. Do they need a global title? Do they need that?
Right now, probably not. They don't need to defend them separately or an extra belt, because I think they consolidated some shows. I know they're doing an American tour, and they're going to be at Vegas WrestleMania weekend, but they're doing less shows out of the Japan, so they may not need to. They may want the opportunity to split them back up if they need to do more shows down the road. I don't know. Just something I thought about.
Yeah. What did you make of this match? I thought Takeshita looked good. I like Tsuji a lot. I think he should have won
you
the title.
Always have.
I always have, and I always saw it. I was curious on what people thought of this.
This version of Takeshita in New Japan, he came off more stoic to me. Like
yeah.
it was just more polished. And I don't know if that was because, you know, he didn't have Don Callis there on commentary telling me what I need to know about Takeshita. But I thought the way he came off, he's definitely a star for them. And I liked the dynamic of them on commentary saying, he's a world star. And Tsuji is more like the New Japan born and bred type guy. And they were bringing that up a lot. Like
they brought that up a lot during the show. And New Japan tends to do this. And I noticed this the last Wrestle Kingdom also. They go hard against the non-regulars in New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like it. I don't know if this is by design or just how the commentary is telling the story, but they always tell the story like, these are not our people. And it's almost a negative. They put this negative emphasis on the outsiders coming in. They did that to Kenny Omega last year, and I didn't like it at all.
Well, it's Kenny Omega.
But they were essentially saying like, oh, he's not one of us anymore. He just shows up here. You know, like they were playing that, and they kind of were pushing that. We're like, these guys aren't our regulars. Takeshita
and Okada and Tanahashi a little too.
Okada and Tanahashi also thing. They did it. I have to tell you, man, we'll get to that match. I thought this was a good showing for Tsuji. I thought this was Takeshita. It was a safe match. They didn't do anything crazy here. And if you notice,
well, even it was a good solid match.
It was a great match. I really enjoyed it. But even like the chops they were laying in, obviously, you saw Takeshita's chest open up a little bit, but they were very safe with everybody. They were really safe here. Tsuji defeated Takeshita. I thought that Boston Crab was fantastic. They told the story of that Boston Crab, and then you saw that happen in the Okada match also, where Okada tried to beat Tanahashi with a Boston Crab, but Tanahashi was able to get out of it. This is going to continue into the story between Takeshita and Okada. Takeshita losing the IWGP title on the grandest stage that he's ever performed in front of 50-something people in Japan for New Japan as a champion, losing it to Yotsuji, is going to tell a story here with Okada.
And they can pick it back up in AEW.
And they can pick it, exactly. So then you had the Okada match. Okada Tanahashi. Okada did not come out to the Rainmaker music. He came out to, he was heel Okada. I did not think they were going to do this. I did not want them to do this.
Yeah, and I don't think the Wrestle Kingdom audience knew what to do with it either.
I don't think they knew what to do with it. They did not like it. I have to tell you, they did not like it.
Because what, he was like 6 years as a babyface?
Well, he's always a baby. You can't boo him there, dude. You can't boo him. Mm-hmm. He really, and he's facing the guy that he kind of, passed as far as, you know, as their ace.
Right.
You got heel Okada. You got babyface retirement Tanahashi. Big response to Tanahashi when he came out. No Rainmaker music. He came out to his heel music. He came out with the AEW International title.
Yep.
So that Continental is all split. No more unified title.
We spent way too much time on it last
week. I know. But it's driving me insane. I hate when that happens. Okay? I hate when that happens. What did you make of this match? I thought, you know, dude, Tanahashi did everything he could. I did not.
He was
working. He did a high fly flow to the outside. He had another high fly flow. He had another high fly flow. It is crazy how.
Like six Rainmakers in this match. I'm just rough throwing a number out, but it felt like quite a lot of them.
Yeah, and there was also homages to Nakamura because he did. You saw the hand movement, the Nakamura taunt. Tanahashi did. There was a sling blade.
Yes.
In the match, an homage to Jay White. You know what we did not see in this match? A Styles clash.
Oh, that would have been interesting.
I don't know if Tanahashi could do one or take one at this point. But you know what was wild? Like, I remember watching New Japan 2016, and the story was then Tanahashi's knees are going. He's not moving that great. It had started already. And I just watched something from him from that time, and I watched him here, and this dude was, you could tell he was suffering. There was a spot that he took. He almost got Irish whipped to the barricade. You saw that spot, and he had to do run, and it was like a couple steps more than he probably should have taken in that run. And his runs are, he's running like Pete Alonso's running to third base. If that makes sense to anybody. One leg is going left, one leg is going right. I was like, my God, you know what? Perfect time for him to retire.
Yep.
And Okada beat him. Okada defeated Tanahashi in his retirement. Rightfully so. But he had a beautiful send-off at the end. When we come back, we'll talk about his ceremony, his send-off, and everything else that's happening in the world of professional wrestling. Hey, we got a Muto sighting also. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. I wanted to wrap it all up in this segment, but I couldn't. I got very excited here. I want to talk about Tanahashi's retirement ceremony here. Okada gave him a bow at the end after the match ended. He went on the microphone. He thanked him. Officials gifted Tanahashi his flowers. Former New Japan talent like Jay White, Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega, and a very tearful Kota Ibushi. Kota Ibushi, that was rough to watch. Dude, that walk. It was very rough to watch.
They should have put him on a dolly and let Kenny wheel him out there. I think the whole thing was he wanted to do it. He wanted to go out there and for respect. But he looked in pain.
Yeah, that poor guy. I like that Kenny was there. He came out and gave the ace more flowers, embraced them. Shibata's music hit. He came out as a heel wearing an op shirt. Tanahashi, as soon as Shibata's music hit, Tanahashi started crying.
Yeah.
He gave him his bouquet, and they locked up for one last time before a hug. Who was he exchanging chops with? Did I hallucinate that in the middle of the morning?
Is that Tsumi that he was? Fujinami?
Oh, was it Fujinami?
Or it was no, it was Shibata. It was Shibata.
It was Shibata. Yeah. That's the point that I woke up in this, and I thought it was a fever dream. I was like, wait a minute, is he fighting Shibata? Like, I've fallen asleep, and I had to rewatch everything this morning. And I was like kind of dazed in and out because I was like kind of awake. I'm like, what's happened? I was so confused as to what happened.
Yeah.
Mudo came out.
Very tongue in cheek. It was,
yeah. Mudo came out, gave him his flyers. So did Fujinami. And that was it. And Naito, big surprise. Naito came out. He gave him flowers too, taking his time like he normally does. And that was it. And that is the retirement of.
They put him on one of the cart that reminded me of the Andre the Giant.
Yeah, and they wheeled him around. They pushed him around. Yeah, they pushed him around the neighborhood.
I didn't know if all that was necessary, but yeah, he got the wave. It's like he did his beauty pageant wave goodbye to everybody, and that was it.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. Good send off to a tremendous professional wrestler, someone very important to Japanese pro wrestling.
Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
So just to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Better retirement, Cena or Tanahashi?
Ah, that's a great question. Very different retirement. Very different to retirement. I think this was a perfect send-off for Tanahashi. I think it was done more of a sport. I think John Cena's was a big hoopla. I would have loved to see Tanahashi hold a title one more time, but that's not how Japan does things. I thought they were both well done. I will say they were both well done. Except for, listen, the Cena one had a couple of hiccups, you know? A weird heel turn, a weird program with The Rock that went nowhere. But overall, I liked both. And I was never a big Cena fan. He was never my guy. But I appreciated all of it. I thought it was fine. Since we're on the WWE topic, SmackDown is back to 3 hours. I know everybody was waiting for this to happen.
No, said nobody.
Yeah. We don't need 3 hours of wrestling, guys. I don't know why. I get it. It's for the money. You're making more money. But we don't need 3 hours of wrestling. It's brutal for me. The Miz opened the show up. He aired his grievances against Joe Henry and not being John Cena's final opponent. Randy Orton returned, gave him an RKO to end the segment. So there you go. That's going to be a program. We're back to the Miz and Randy Orton. Okay. I just think they got it. They have to break this cycle of what they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't like predicting a wrestling show. I could sit here and I could tell you like the ebbs and flows of this entire thing. There's again, the presentation of, we were talking about this earlier. New Japan, AEW, even other groups, other companies. There should be some sloppiness to pro wrestling. It shouldn't look as polished as it does. Io Sky, Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair, and Alexa Bliss defeated the Kabuki Warriors, Nia Jax, and Lash Legend via pinfall. They're building something here.
Yeah, and I think it's going to... I think the end of this end of this show will happen at the end, and I think it's going to carry over into that title match tomorrow.
We had the return of Matt Cardona. As Matt Cardona. He is signed with the company as Matt Cardona. You know what? What a tremendous hand to have.
Yeah.
You know, this is a company that is looking for marketing machines. Matt Cardona is a marketing machine. This guy's a businessman. Long Island's own, Matt Cardona. I think this is great to have him there. You know, people are crapping on him. They're like, oh, he couldn't commit an indie show. He had to give up titles to lose on SmackDown. He's just going to be losing to people on SmackDown. Dude, the guy's wife is there. His friends are all there. Good friends with Cody. He's good friends with The Miz. A lot of other people. Why would he not want to go there for a buttload of money? He could be himself. He's not Zack Ryder doing the woo-woo-woo, you know it. He's doing his own thing.
And now he's working less days than they used to back in the day.
And now he's working less days like he's working back in the day. And he's probably going to work less days than he's working on the indies. This is a guy that does 3 shots in a weekend, you know? Plus conventions, yeah. Plus this, plus his thing. It's a lot. So good for him. Good for Matt Cardona. It just never worked in AEW, huh?
No, he was there a short time, too.
He was there once, twice. That was it. Mm-hmm. He was there in the pandemic,
that was when
right?
Cody was there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just didn't. Listen, man, sometimes it doesn't work.
It took me a minute to think about it. Like, wait, he was in AEW.
I thought he was 100% going to be there for sure when he went there. I thought he would be. Sami Zayn returns to win the WWE title this year. He was interrupted by Trick Williams. He would be interrupted by debuting Trick Williams, I should say, on SmackDown. He told Sami that he looks like a champion and Sami doesn't. And he would be world champion. Okay, I'm into this. And Carmelo Hayes. Yeah, go ahead.
He was wearing that long coat. He was wearing a long coat. And he was kind of, he was talking kind of high. He almost like was trying to channel some Dusty Rhodes.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so. Carmelo Hayes defeated Johnny Gargano to retain the U.S. title. Drew McIntyre, Cody segment, and 3 stages of hell revealed. He first announced the stages, okay? A regular wrestling match, a falls count anywhere match, and a steel cage match for the 3rd stage.
This is so Triple H.
This is such
this
a Triple
is the
H
same
thing.
Same one. Yes.
We've done this before. This he does love this match. He does.
And it's the same stages. They
you know what?
Change it up.
I could see him doing this with Cactus Jack.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't this like right out of 2000s? Stages of hell match.
There you go.
I could do his voice. He's the man that we can't mention. He is Vecna. He went on Cody's bus and stole a picture of Cody and his dad. He lured Cody to come chase him. And then went to the ring where he would burn the picture in front of Cody. It's so ridiculous.
Okay. And he had a trash can. Where's Io Sky to confiscate it when you needed it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where's Io Sky to get the trash can? Julia defeated Chelsea Green to win the Women's United States Championship back. This is good. I think this is a good title on Julia. Maybe you team Chelsea and Matt. Put them together. And he had an ambulance match. Damian Priest defeated Aleister Black. Zelina would try to get involved, but Rhea was hiding in the ambulance and would take her out.
Which was interesting because they didn't really tease that at all during the match. But then what I said earlier, and this you can quote crossover into the premiere or the show tomorrow, but I have a feeling Zelina might get involved in that match and cost Io and Rhea. I'm just absolutely guessing, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. WWE Championship on the line. CM Punk defends it against Braun Breaker for the first, I guess it's their Netflix show, their big Netflix crossover with Stranger Things. This is their first anniversary show, by the way, and they're doing a Stranger Things crossover. No, 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 no. You got Liv Morgan, Lyra Valkyria. You got Women's Intercontinental Champion Maxine Dupri defending against Becky Lynch. Women's Tag Team Championship Kabuki Warriors against Rhea Ripley and Io Sky. Tommaso Ciampa is expected to leave the company, according to Body Slam. BodySlam.net is reporting that Ciampa's contract is set to expire and he plans on finishing up his time with the company without a renewal. Interesting. Where will he end up?
I think everywhere. I think he'll pick and choose where he goes.
Very interesting.
He's been doing this a long time, and he's still in phenomenal shape. But just they're not, for whatever reason, they've never been able to pull the trigger with him in a better spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We also had Collision, which a lot of wrestling guys, a ton of wrestling happening.
So much.
Yeah. Do you want to just pick your favorite here? There was a lot of stuff on the show, too.
I actually enjoyed the main event. John Moxley on commentary. Can we talk about this? He's very good on commentary. He came down on the ring with Wheeler Yuta, went and sat at commentary, and wasn't like overly being heel. He explains things very well. And then, you know, he was mad. And then, of course, the end of the match saw – Tony Storm come out and attack Marina Shafir, which sets up a match for Wednesday. And when they announced it, as they were going off the air, John Moxley looked very excited.
Did you pick up when Tony Schiavone was reading the note regarding the Stokely Foundation?
Yeah.
Did you see what hospital, what medical center Stokely was staying in?
No, I didn't.
The Vivian Banks Medical Center. Vivian Banks. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh.
The Vivian Banks Medical Center. I think that went over a lot of people's heads. I thought that was really good.
Went over mine, but that's... Yeah. He's all into that. Like, he's very good. He probably wrote that himself.
Yeah. You also had something interesting. Sammy Guevara and Bandido. Sammy Guevara challenged Bandido for a Ring of Honor Men's World Title match, and Bandido accepted.
What do you think of his villain mustache?
I love it. I think it's ridiculous.
It is.
I thought it was ridiculous. Shelton Benjamin, Dante Martin was good. I liked it. Benjamin looks great. Jet Speed defeated Big Bill and Brian Keith. I want to see more from Big Bill this year. That's something I've been saying, that you need different types of characters. Not everybody needs to be the best wrestler alive. You got to create monsters.
There's only one Max Caster, Andrew. Only one.
There's only one Max Caster. I know. I'm so sorry. There's only one Max Caster. He's the biggest star alive in that company. A lot of interesting stuff happening. We also have Dynamite. When we come back from break, in our final segment, I want to break down what's happening on Dynamite. And that's it. And wrap it up after that. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final segment of the show. Next week on SmackDown, you have the Three Stages of Hell match for the Undisputed World Championship, WWE Championship. You got Cody against Drew McIntyre. Rey Fénix against Trick Williams. The Wyatt Six against MFTs. And that is in Germany next week. If you have the proper means and a VPN, you most likely could probably watch this. AEW Dynamite next Wednesday. You got a lights out match. Hangman Page and Swerve Strickland against the Ops, Powerhouse Hobbs and Hook. AEW Continental Championship Eliminator. You got John Moxley against Shelton Benjamin. That's a cool match. Have we seen that before?
I think that's new. I don't think we've ever had that match.
I don't think we've ever had that match. We never got Benjamin a Dean looks, Ambrose and Shelton. But Shelton looks ridiculous. I that guy is everything a world champion. This was any other time. He was at the right place at the wrong time too many times, this guy. He's brilliant. He's great. Bandido Sammy Guevara also on Dynamite. And you're going to have Tony Storm against Marina Shafir. This will be a fun match. A lot of fun stuff happening. I really thought we would have time to do my what I'm looking forward to, but I think we'll do that next week on the show. Things that I'm looking forward to in 2026. Actually, great question for you guys, and I'll leave you with this, and you can hit me up on X, okay? What is something that you predict? I know Brian's going to do a prediction show. What is something that you predict that will happen this year? Doesn't have to be crazy, like Vince McMahon returning and winning the world title. What is something that you see happening?
Take those words back, please.
I you know what? My wife that did saging of the house this morning. We saged.
Okay.
We did our Palo Santo sticks. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back next week. Take care.